you have to ride them waves.
What's going on, TFOs? Danny Brams here. The Charlotte Soccer Show Content Factory keeps cranking them out. We taped our Back to Dynamic Duo audio-only episode. You should look for that in your podcast streams. Johnny and I got caught up on everything that's been going on in the couple weeks since we were able to record together. Had a really great time at Triple C. Had a few Golden Boys, had a few other brews, and highly recommended listening for your match day preview. Tomorrow morning, as we get ready for a big Saturday matchup against Toronto FC, the worst team in the league, right? I think that's what we've been calling them that, so they might as well be. But I'm here with even more bonus content for the folks. We're going to do some Decoding the Presser. We're riding the waves and Decoding the Presser. Like Dean says, I believe he talked about momentum was the overriding theme of his availability with the local scribes and button pushers the other day. I've got my minty coffee mug, as you can see. Sir Minty is my friend, the best friend money can buy. Like, we could talk about that for sure. Buddy for hire, Sir Minty. But it's all about Dean today. So without further ado, let's get into it, shall we?
Availability, everybody. Atlanta, with the exception of Sully, came through okay. Sully's got he felt a pinch at the end of the game, and he's had a scan. It doesn't look great news, but we're just having a second opinion on it, unfortunately.
Well, that's horrible. Not good news that Dumbia is re-aggravated an earlier injury, it sounds like, maybe even made it worse. I'm sure they've gotten some results from that scan back since Dean taped this yesterday, and sounds like he's not going to be available. But some good breaking news, if you will, if you're looking for silver linings, which I usually am. He's got a new nickname. He's no longer Doo-Doo, which might have played well over there in France and Belgium, but doesn't quite work as well here in the United States. No one wants to be called Doo-Doo. But Sully, much better nickname for Suleiman Dumbia. We'll call him Sully from now on.
How close is Nate?
Nathan's close. He's trained all week with us. We will need to get some minutes into him. Probably this weekend will be too quick for him, but we're hoping we'll get some minutes into him in the League's Cup on Thursday.
And Liel, I know.
All right, let's go.
Nathan
Burrow.
Yeah, Liel's back training. He's trained the last few days with us, and he's perfectly fine now.
That's good news as well.
Kali
Abada Boom.
He made it sound like that. Last week was the first time in a while he'd kind of felt like his last year self, the keeper that we expect to see. Those two big saves in the second half really, I think, gave him some confidence. How have you empowered him to kind of get back to that form?
Just giving him confidence, really, speaking to him, telling him what we believe he can bring, what he brings to the team, as well as the big saves. The personality that he's got, the character he is. And goalkeeping's about that sometimes. It's about, that line in front of you having real trust in you behind them. And, I think making sure that doesn't waver at all. And, he's a strong character anyway.
That's true.
Got great belief in himself, but also knew that he'd gone through a bit of a ropey period, but has come through it.
How much do you think?
Great British adjective there, ropey.
Changing
a ropey period. We love it.
Maybe
look it up.
Affected him a little bit.
Yeah, I've said that, quite a few times that we've had to change. Certainly in the fullback areas with the Nathan injuries and the Dumbia injuries. So there's not been as much stableness
at all
in the back four this season. We've started to get a little bit of that just recently, and hopefully we can go and get a good run of games where, it becomes more of a settled team.
I know you don't like talking about your time before you got here, but
wouldn't that be nice?
Kerwin's defense, I think, under your tutelage, has really improved. And talking to him, he made it sound like, again, it's something that, again, you make it sound like, hey, the way to get on the field is being better without the ball. How has it transformed in your time since you've watched him play?
I think that's just a thing for all players. You try and make the game simple for them, and there's three parts to the game: when you've got the ball, when you haven't got the ball, and when the ball's off the pitch. There's only three parts to the game. It's how important, how good Brilliant. You can be in all those periods. You know, when you haven't got the ball, do you know which positions are going to make it really tough for the opposition? You know, if you fill a space, you actually stop people running into that space. And, you know, so a little bit of coaching, a little bit of teaching about that, you know, has helped with his... But also he wants to learn as well. He's a young lad who wants to learn, wants to get better. I mean, we do regular individual development programs with the players, and one of his things this season has been, you know, he's standard a crossing. And, you know, when he came on the pitch last Wednesday, and the two balls he played underneath against DC for Edam were outstanding, and he'd done it exactly the same the first minute of the second half again for Edam's goal. And it just shows you, you know, that practice makes perfect at times and makes permanent. And, you know, he's one who, you know, laps up coaching. There's many times I've took him in my office and gone through clips with him, asked him what he was thinking, what he was seeing, and, you know, that's his way of learning.
Kerwin's been lights out, playing defense on the wing, sending crosses like Robin Hood.
A
little British reference for those of you.
How infectious is kind of his personality, and how much do you kind of see other people kind of taking that chip on their shoulder, but harnessing it in the right way?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think when he's got that fire burning in him, you saw it certainly in the second half at Atlanta. It's a joy to behold, and, you know, there's not many players that can stop him when he's in that sort of form. And our job is to get that out of him, you know, on a regular basis. His job is to do the same as well. And, you know, I thought he was a really good performance from him.
How important is it?
Talking about Wilf there, he's right.
You talked a lot about how you've leaned on the 12th man, you've leaned on your fans, and you get another opportunity here before League's Cup.
Yeah, I think five out of our next six games are at home. You know, so it's a great time for us to be in building up some sort of momentum, some sort of form. You know, as I say, the last game is against Toronto, and then going into the League's Cup, three games at home. You know, so we're really looking forward to it.
Ask him if it's a must win. Ask him if it's a must win.
Has there also been maybe a mentality shift in him, you feel like?
I don't think it's a mentality shift. I think it's just more of an understanding of the importance of what he does and why he does it. You know, I've been frustrated at times. I'm not a big lover of people chopping onto their weaker foot and trying an effort from 25, 30 yards. You know, and it's just a little bit of making people understand why there could be better things on. And, you know, him starting to understand what can make him a better player, what can get him assists, what can get him goals, is really important.
Nice. What do you make
They're different to, I mean, it's only just over a month ago since we played them, but they're different. They've got a few injuries at the moment. They've just got rid of their two big DPs, Italian DPs. So I've watched the last three games, you know, against San Diego, Atlanta, San Diego, and Nashville. And they've been really tight games.
Did you watch those three games,
Dean? Tightened up in terms of how they play. There was a lot of man-to-man marking without the ball. So they're going to make it tough for teams at the moment. And, you know, they don't want to, you know, because of the poor start they've had, they don't want to make the season be thrown away. So it's going to be tough, but it's our job to open them up.
Yeah, I think we can exploit man-to-man marking for sure. We got the talent to do that.
You know, it feels like a lot of positive momentum, especially the last four matches.
Positive momentum.
Is that maybe something that the team talks about, making sure that, I guess, whatever happened during that period, there's things that you can change to continue this positive momentum?
Yeah, I always believed that we would come through it. You know, it was tough. We
never,
didn't get the
never
points
doubted,
that we probably
Gino.
Deserved. You know, but that's football sometimes. It's always what you do next, and all the way through it, I'd like to think that I haven't changed. I haven't got too high, too low, you know, and that's the case now. We're building towards the end of the season. The end of the season, the goal is to be in the playoff places, and you know, to be really competitive. And you know, getting a result against Toronto will help us do that.
Mm-hmm. MLS All-Stars was last.
Notice how he said just getting to the playoffs, not necessarily top four like people were talking earlier.
That game,
just a little tweak there to the message.
What are your thoughts on players potentially receiving bans for not attending?
I missed the game as well. I didn't go, so I didn't see it. So listen, I don't know what
Dino does not so, care about MLS you know, All-Star.
If they've got legitimate reasons for missing it, then so be it. I mean, it's 2 days before a game for some players and three mm-hmm. days for others. So I don't know the reasonings, but if they've got legitimate reasons for not going, then I'm sure the league will understand that. Cheers, thank you.
Dino's not getting caught up in any of that messy controversy. Doesn't want to get messy without messy.
Well.
I'm good, thank you. Yourself?
Doing good.
Eric
in training, I'm curious what you're seeing from him and maybe why you're making decisions to use Gianni Bronico in there instead of maybe starting him in that role. What are you seeing in training?
He came in against Red Bull and he was unfortunate actually because I thought his performance was better than what the result was at the end of the day. And, you know, unfortunately, the results were going against us at the time. He's more of a creative player. I like his technical ability. You can see a pass that perhaps an executor pass that perhaps others can't. He came on against Philadelphia and played a great ball forward, which resulted in us scoring a goal. So we're just me and I take this on board as well. We've failed to probably get the best out of him so far, you know, but there's still a long way to go in the season where he can become a prominent player.
It's pretty diplomatic thing for a coach to say about big money signing.
What do you think is the best out of him?
I think, as I say, he's an offensive player. You know, he doesn't neglect his defensive duty by any means, but you get him in the areas of the pitch where he can get on the ball and you can open teams up. You know, it's been a little bit harder because Pep's had such a good season mm-hmm. playing as a 10. We've kind of allowed Pep to have a roaming role in there, so it's probably lessened the chances of Eric playing a little bit higher. But when we do change and play a 6 and 2 8, definitely Eric comes into the reckoning.
100% true. And hopefully Eric will play a lot in League's Cup.
Do you see him as a 10 in your system, or do you see him as an 8, as a 6? Like, what's his best role in your system?
I think he's an 8/10. That's where I think he's best playing. As I say, he's an offensive player. He can drop down and play as a 6 as well because he handles the ball so well. I just don't think he's the defensive side of his game is his natural instincts, and that's why we signed him. We wanted a more offensive, more technical player, more tactical player. You know, he probably just hasn't got the minutes that we would have both have wanted so far. But there's a long way to go still.
Yeah, for sure.
Eric Williamson still has a role to play in this season for this campaign. I really believe that, too.
And you guys have had these great results of late. And part of our broadcast...
By the way, I love the... just the quick Britishism from Dino there when he says, I think he's an 8/10. That's in America, we'd say 8/10. But just Dino's getting all his Britishisms in on this press conference with the stroke instead of the slash. You got to love it.
Like, we're setting the standards in Charlotte. I'm curious what those standards are now and, like, what conversations you're having now that the second transfer window is open. Like, is there anything in terms of character and standards that you're setting that maybe we don't know about at this point?
No, I mean, the standards are every day in training. You know, make sure you come in on time, you do your prep how it should be done, you come out on time to train, you train well. You do your rehab, you do your prehab, and make sure that everything that we're doing is setting that standard. And, you know, if players aren't doing that, then make sure we're pulling them up on that as well. They're the standards that we want every day.
Prehab. If you do enough prehab, like you don't have as much rehab.
Teams who sit back and nice little equation there. First half against DC United, I saw it against Miami. Maybe there was another team there this season, but what did you learn from the match in DC that you guys were able to break them apart that you can use potentially against Toronto if they do sit in that formation this weekend?
I think patience is the one. You know, be patient, not to get the ball forward as quickly. Sometimes you've got to draw the opposition out. You know, and then your ball speed as well, the tempo in what you play at, you know, the quality of your forward passes and when you play the ball into the penalty box and where you play it to. I don't expect Toronto to sit back like DC. from the last three games I've just watched, you know, they're very man-to-man. So certainly in the middle of the pitch, they're going to put pressure on players receiving the ball. So, you know, we've got to be aware of that.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster for Toronto if they press us.
No worries. Thank you.
That's what Charlotte FC is good at, is punishing a press. They destroyed San Diego here at the Fortress when they San Diego tried to come and do that. San Diego's a lot better team than Toronto, so we'll see.
I'm back after Steve.
Got it. Go ahead, Steve.
Who is CJ?
He's my son.
Ah.
Oh, hey, what's up? What's up, Mike Solarte and son? How you doing?
With the pressure that comes in May, June, or did you want to make sure the result there?
Looks like Dino can't really hear the question here.
Steve, Steve, sorry, the connection's not great, mate. I can't really hear you.
Oof. Brutal. Poor Dino. Poor Steve. Awkward. Good thing I got my minty cup full of coffee here. Well, not quite as full as it used to be. Delicious. Juniper Mountain coffee.
No, it's a little bit... Can you hear him?
It's choppy, Steve.
Yeah, it's a bit choppy.
It's a bit choppy. You can't ride the waves when it's choppy. Come on now.
I didn't know the Wi-Fi word to use.
It's not getting any better.
Steve, you sound like you're on Star Wars. Sorry, mate.
Amazing. What a moment. This is the best thing. This is one of the best moments of the season.
He's going to log back in, I think. He's
incredible.
Okay, no worries.
We love you, Steve. Email the question in.
Tell him to text me his question a lot.
There we go. Incredible.
Where's MJ?
CJ.
CJ? Mike?
Yeah, hi, Richard. Sorry about that, guys.
MJ, you should let CJ interview me. See what that sounds like.
I don't know if you can see. There he is.
Ah.
This thing's off the rails.
CJ,
y'all.
How are you?
Oh, he can't hear you. I got my headphones.
Okay, mate. No problem.
Dean can't hear Steve. CJ can't hear Dean.
I have a couple for you, Dean. Let me get my recording back to the right way. Back to Kalina. You talked about how you're working with him to, you know, get him back to form. For a goalkeeper, is it more or as much between his ears as it is between the posts to get a guy locked back into that kind of play?
Of course. Goalkeepers are crazy.
I think most players, it's between the ears, to be honest. You know, between the lugs is a big thing for most players. I mean, people talk an awful lot about the four.
Yet another one from Dino, between the lugs. Oh, my gosh. Amazing.
Four-corner model where you've got the mental skills, physical, tactical, and technical. And if you put technical with tactical, you don't get a perfect player. If you put physical with tactical, physical with mental. But any one of them with mental, you can get a player out of that. So that's such a big part of the game, the mental side of it. Whether you're an outfield player, whether you're a goalkeeper, it's a big, big part of the game. So goalkeepers, yeah, especially. And his relationship with Aaron Hyde, the goalkeeping coach, is instrumental on, you know, how he's done last season, how he's got through, you know, the period he went through during the middle of the season here as well.
You know, Dino comes under a lot of questioning, especially from me. I question Dino all the time, even though I don't know what I'm talking about. But every once in a while, he reminds you just how deeply he thinks about this game. And man, really is a genius. You got to love it.
Confidence for your group is high. How do you prevent them from being overconfident? Do you just have to point to May and June and say, remember what happened? How low it
was? If this team's overconfident, then...
Yeah, I think the players know. I mean, you know, it's a long season. It's always a marathon. It's never a sprint. You know, we knew... But after 10 games being top of the East, that there was still a long way to go. And we faltered, you know, during the away spell, where we were on the road But now we've got back into results, and the players know that at the moment that they're having to work hard for the results as well. They don't come easy. I don't think we got beat out of sight by many teams, and we haven't beat many teams out of sight as well. That's the nature of this league. So it's important that when you've got some momentum that you ride with it, and the players are aware of that, but they're working extremely hard to get that momentum.
Yeah. Overconfidence should not be an issue with this squad, even though Toronto's pretty bad.
I guess I'm focusing more on the mental aspect of things rather than the physical nuts
and bolts
of it, but the importance of getting a win in that last league competition before you go to the tournament to continue to snowball that momentum, because you're going to play those three matches in the League Cup and then get right back into it.
Yeah, it's going to be really important for us. I mean, we've not looked at the League Cup yet. We've just been concentrating on the league. And I think I said to you before the Orlando game, we knew having four out of the next five games at home was going to be big for us. We've come through four of them so far unbeaten, winning the last three. So if we could top it off with, what would it be? My maths, 13 points out of 15, that would be an unbelievable achievement. Mm-hmm. But you've still got to go and beat Toronto. And as I've said, they're making it hard at the moment with a lot of teams. So we're certainly not underestimating them. And, they'll make a tough game of it. But it's a big game for us. We know that. And we're looking forward to it.
Sounds like the right approach.
Steve, we'll try one more time.
How's this? Better?
Yeah, that was much better.
Okay, I went off the Wi-Fi here and on to just the signal. I just wondered, during the stretch in May and June,
well
did
done,
you feel
Steve.
Any outside pressures other than more
pros
than you
pro.
Yourself to kind of right the ship, or was it?
No, not really. I've always said to you that the pressures that are what I put on myself. I can't control any other pressures from outside, so I never worry about them. So I didn't bother worrying about them. I just concentrated on what I could do, on how I make the team better and try and change the results around.
We should all be so so
the
skilled to be able to do that. Block out the outside pressures that don't matter, that we can't control.
Lethally, and then, Charlotte definitely
we're working
was
on
a different team coming out.
Every day.
With a result like that, and then, getting challenged and holding on for the win, do you see, and even over the past couple of weeks, with the wins piling up, is there a different attitude in training with the players? Is there a different, no pun intended, but pep in their step?
Yeah,
I think that pun was intended.
Last few days.
People that, when they say no pun intended, usually the pun is very much intended. I'm just as guilty, but that's funny.
Is that obviously they're a little bit chirpier and happier as they should be, earned an extra day off by getting the result. But having a run of results always does that. Everybody gets a little bit chirpier and a little bit more confident, and you can take that into the games then and use that. So we have to make sure we continue that.
And going into the Leagues Cup, even through those first three games that have come pretty quickly, there's not going to be a risk of a long layoff after that. So does this also, the Leagues Cup, offer you an opportunity to put more legs on the field, to put more players into games of
great
meeting
question.
And
glad
see
they
how
asked.
They perform?
I've not looked too much into the League's Cup in terms of what I'm going to do team-wise, but it's a competition where, we can go and win a trophy. So, like I said with the US Open, it's one that we won't take lightly. We're looking forward to it. We want to get the win against Toronto first, but then go into it. We know it's, I think we go Saturday, Thursday, Sunday is the next five games. So we've got a lot of games, minutes to get through. So there will be obviously changes within the team, but players have got to earn them changes as well.
I think he's hinting there will be some changes.
Cheers, Steve.
We'll wrap up with Willie.
It's hard for me to believe that he hasn't thought about
it. We've talked a lot
about, to be honest, I'm skeptical.
What you want in the window, and I know a lot of these probably are better left at the desk of Zoran, but since you are here, the way Edon is playing, has that maybe morphed what you want in terms of the profile of striker to complement him?
I think we need somebody to compete with Edon. That's been, you know, the thing that I said right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how Edan's playing, we would need somebody to go and compete for positions. So that's never really changed, you know, my mindset on the matter anyway.
Would you prefer somebody more experienced, or would you want maybe an experienced player and a developmental player?
Do you want Giacomakis or Goodwin?
Or do you just feel like you want one person who can...
I think we need one that wants to come in who can go and compete. And if we go and get somebody who can compete, then brilliant. I think that'll be a great challenge for Edan and the player who comes.
And an outside back, obviously, is still, after the news of Suleiman, probably still something you're focusing on as well.
Is that a fullback in English?
Yeah.
Yeah. The players use outside back with me all the time. I'm like, no, fullback. We're still looking to bring in the fullback.
What a king. Well.
Dean, thank you for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Can I just say, can we have raise our glass as well? Ozzy Osbourne.
I was going to ask you.
Ozzy Osbourne. What a Brummie. What a guy. What a life. Up the Villa.
Did you have a relationship with him?
No, I didn't. But no, what a guy. Born in Aston.
What a legend, Dean Smith. That might have been one of the most British press conferences he's had since his time here, certainly in 25. All the Britishisms he got to say on the spin, he got to say. 8/10, excuse me. You know, you got to shout out Ozzy Osbourne. What a Brummie. Let's hope this Charlotte FC season almost went off the rails on a crazy train, but mama, I'm coming home. And if we can stick, somehow not be paranoid, then we will be Iron Men heading into the playoffs. Let's beat Toronto. Thanks for everybody watching Decoding the Presser. We love you. It's for the crown, baby.